So I got this box of oxygen water in the mail the other day, like liter-sized bottles of it. And I was like, who sent me this? And then my wife was like, oh, that's Steph Curry's product. And I was like, oh, well, damn, let me take a look at this then. I forgot about that. And it's true. Steph Curry is a big, big proponent of oxygen. That's O-X-I-G-E-N. It's pH balanced with electrolytes and boosted with oxygen, all to help you recover and rise. And unlike most bottled waters that are recyclable, oxygen is made from 100% recycled plastic, which is healthy both for the body and for the planet, of course. So go to drinkoxygen.com. That's O-X-I-G-E-N.com. And use code OXYGEN1 at checkout for 20% off your first-time purchase. That's drinkoxygen.com and use the promo code OXYGEN1 at checkout for 20% off your first-time purchase. Recover and rise today.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through Friday,
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
And welcome to a post-finals edition of Hoops Adjacent on the NBA Athletic Show, or the Athletic NBA Show. I should know that by now. David Aldridge here in D.C. Waz Lambre out in L.A. Waz, what is up, sir?
I'm good, man. I'm, you know, enjoyed the restart of the season, enjoyed the level of hoop in the bubble. But I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of enjoying not having to be super locked into NBA hoop right now.
It just seems so weird. It's October. It's like, we should, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Let me get my fall Saturdays back.
Exactly. Please. We're supposed to, it's starting in the 2 weeks, isn't it? You know what I'm saying? That's what I've been accustomed to over the last 30 years. But we're going to talk about the finals. We're going to talk about the bubble. We're going to talk about everything with our good friend from the Bay, all the way from the Bay, Marcus Thompson. MT, what's up, man?
I don't know what y'all talking about, man. I feel the withdrawal already.
Do you?
Like, I'm Listen, like,
your team ain't playing 6 months. Of course you do.
Exactly. I don't know what I'm saying. What am I? When are we getting this back?
Hold up. You're not interested in the future or the potential talent of LaMelo Ball? And
I am, but
Anthony
not
Edwards.
Now.
I'm just wondering when I'm going to see him play again.
Exactly.
Watching the end of that game was like, you know, somebody going off to war and you not knowing when they're coming back. And it's like, I hope y'all come back. Like,
damn.
Don't forget about me, you know, right here and there, please. Like, that's, damn. I have no idea. When are we going to see professional basketball again?
Oh,
like,
if I knew that, I would feel it's not going to be that long. It'll be January, probably.
I think the latest early
February. I don't think it'll be much longer than that.
I've talked to some people who are like, I'd be shocked if this happens by March. Like, well, you know, March is hella long.
Here's the thing. I could see that. You know, what that will come down to, I think, is whether they give a damn about the Olympics or not, you know, because I really think the whole impetus of starting in January is so that they can have at least most of the season done by the time Olympics roll around, so that most of the players, it won't be all of them, obviously, but most of the players that they want on an Olympic team would be able to get in there and get some practice time because their seasons would have ended in a reasonably, you know, normal schedule. They would have ended maybe in late May or early June. The Olympics, I believe, start in late July, or they're scheduled to start in late July next year. And that would give the guys some time off. It would give them a couple weeks for training camp, and then they'd be able to play a few exhibitions. But if they don't care about the Olympics, and when I say that, I mean they don't care who's on the team, then yeah, they could start in March and go all the way through August or early September.
You know, they do the whole start March thing and then do the hockey pause for the Olympics and then resume?
That's what I'm saying. I don't think you could do that and
NBA,
get 82
NBA
in.
Low budget enough for that? Like,
I don't think you can get 82 in. I think that would be the problem. You would be talking about 65 again, you know, and I think they want to try to do everything to get 82 in and start
Why?
As late as well.
Why?
Revenue. They
Now's
the money.
Chance to revisit it. Like, now you got basically a clean slate to make the season – like as best as it can be.
I agree, but that's
why be married to 82.
They want that. They need that revenue. They want people, as many people as they can get in for as many dates as possible next year.
Raise the prices. Nobody can afford it anyway.
I didn't think you'd be going capitalism on our ass at the start of the show.
They already went. I'm just saying, lean in. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been priced out. But you know what I'm saying? Like,
it's millionaires night at, yeah, right? At the Forum.
They got to pay a little bit more. Who cares? Eddie Q can afford to pay more. Like, that's all I'm saying. Especially when this new iPhone 12 dropped. We could be
All right. So what should I do on that? I literally have the Fred Flintstone model iPhone. I have a 6. I'm ashamed to say it. But that's what I got. I got a 6. Woo. I know. It's ridiculous.
Keep
it's
so hold on. It's so hold on.
It's so
you mean like, it. You mean iPhone 6?
Yes, iPhone 6.
Wait, have you never did the new iOS's? Are you just
No, I've done those. No, I've done the new iOS's. They're
and
all
the phone
in there.
Is actually working?
And it still works. Yeah, it's amazing. I thought it would just give me the peace out and just self-destruct like it was a message to Mr. Phelps and Mission Impossible, you know?
I figure they just give you a new one. Like, yo, look, we
no,
can't
they literally, every other day, they're like, dude, just get a new phone already. Damn. That's literally like, on the message line for the email I get.
Yeah, that's what it is. When you get the new iOS in there, like, it just overwhelms the system and your battery just gets drained by
it. Oh, it's terrible. But, like, I have to have it plugged in all the time now. It's crazy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So when is the 12 supposed to drop?
I think you can pre-order in like 3 days or something like that.
Get the 8, Dave.
What?
Dave, get the 8.
16. Why the 8?
Because it's cheaper.
The 8 is it dramatically better than the 6? Because I want dramatically better. So I don't mind paying for it.
For me, I have the 11 Pro. Mm-hmm. And all that I like about it is that the battery is sturdy, like the 11X Pro, like the biggest one. So, you know, the bigger the phone, the bigger the battery.
Right, right.
And so that's all, literally all I care about. All the other stuff is meaningless to me. It's like, all right, I could be out of my house and not have to worry about whether this phone is going to lose a charge or not. And it's really good with that.
Okay.
I skipped 11 wires and I still got the, like, what is it, iPhone X? And I was waiting for the 12, but then it got delayed. Man, it feels like I'm watching like VCR TV.
Oh man!
Oh man! I normally never buy
watching
the first
Betamaxes,
iPhone,
you know.
I normally always wait until that S come out. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Let them get all the bugs out. Man, I can't wait for 3 days. I'm gonna be online like a dope fiend. Like,
I was thinking, that's what I was thinking. Should I just get an 11? Because I don't have to have the state of the art newness.
Nah. Yeah,
I just want better than I got.
I think you would enjoy the 11 for sure.
Now maybe I'll just
100%. Especially if you're still
rocking
with a 6.
Documentaries with your phone, then you know you got the latest one. If you just making a few phone calls and tweeting,
you know, we need to get Apple to be a sponsor of this shit. Since we talk at Apple products all day, you know, like I need to be holding up a new phone.
They could afford it.
You know,
the Galaxy 10. Something. Even this thing out.
Right, right. Hey, I don't mind that either. I love their cameras have been to me better. That's my opinion. That doesn't mean I'm right.
We just want our respect. Rob wants his respect. Coach Vogel wants his respect. Our organization wants their respect. Laker Nation wants their respect. And I want my damn respect, too.
Let's bring DA into the conversation here.
Welcome to Who
Comma Is
Adjacent on the Athletic Podcast Network.
I turned it on and I heard Shaq with the barbs. Like the most in his bracket, don't you? I was transported right back into it. I was like, oh, this is great.
I think I rap better than Shaq.
David Aldridge.
Oh, he's totally playing. Yes. Yes. And then he kept their lungs out in front of everybody on TV.
Michael was not your friend.
It was popping in
there. Wozni Lembe.
So the Chicago and Detroit stuff, that was real.
That was real.
I mean, God forbid we don't have scholarship monies and can't pay for the charters for the water polo in Iowa.
Hoops adjacent.
Welcome to Hoops
5-4. We have ignition.
So let's do this finals post-mortem and what we thought of it. I was happy for LeBron. Here's the thing. Every time I want to just be unconditionally happy for LeBron, he says something that makes me go, what? You know, like, I'm happy for dude. He gets his fourth. Right? You know, he gets his fourth, third team, went to L.A. to win a chip, got the chip. I don't care how he got it. I don't care if he was playing with the Harlem Globetrotters. He got the chip. Did what he said he was going to do. And I'm like, cool, you got your fourth. I'm happy for you. Have a good off season. And then you talk about, I want my damn respect.
And I want my damn respect, too.
Who's not giving you your respect? Who? Tell me who's not giving, besides Skip Bayless, who is a professional troll. Who is not giving you your respect? What is it? Chad478932 on Twitter's not giving you your respect? Who are you talking about?
The hypocrisy of these statements they make. Because on one hand, it's, oh, I don't pay attention
to what you're saying.
On the other hand, it's, I need my respect. Like, who, man, you, not only are you listening to the media and you reading what we write, even though you deny it, right? Mm-hmm. But to make it worse, like, you listening to Twitter people.
Right.
Like, that's,
right.
That's just, are you serious? Like, this is what we're talking about? Like, anybody who called this dude the Washed King automatically loses talking privileges. Like, they shouldn't even be in the conversation. And you're listening to that?
Right,
well,
exactly.
Well, that would mean, Marcus, that LeBron can't be in the conversation about himself because he's the only person who actually called himself that. Like, no, there was no Washed King narrative. It was just something he completely made up and fabricated as, like, you know, oh, they're counting me out. They're saying I can't do it. Oh, they're saying I'm washed up, blah, 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 blah. And, like, that was a completely LeBron-driven narrative, you know. There was legitimately people who was like, look, the guy's going to be 35.
He got and he was hurt last year.
He got hurt for the first time. Right. This could finally be signs of wear and tear. And, you know, just the general decline that we've seen from every single player that's ever played in the league. And so there was some of that, but it wasn't like, you know, some crazy narrative. Yeah. But at the same time, though, guys, I think LeBron specifically, because he's so social media driven, as, you know, what he does with his own brand marketing and all the different things that he has going on. I think if you are on social, no matter who you are, you could have been Jesus Christ reincarnated. You would have people saying, you know, John the Baptist was better, you know, like, straight up and down. So if you on social, that much, you're going to come face to face with detractors. And I think that's kind of what you're seeing there with that statement, because nobody of any merit or respectability, and know that dude on that Fox show is not somebody with respectability at this point in his career. He's made it so that, you know, he kind of sold out a long time ago once he saw how lucrative it could be to do what he does.
Nobody
with any credibility doesn't respect what this guy's accomplished. It's not like
Dame came out with a diss track. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
It's the rags to riches complex, right? I know it because, like, I have it. I remember, it reminds me of a time where, you know, I was living with my in-laws and we were like doing the whole thing because they were getting the house appraised. So, man, we were doing it. We were doing everything. And so I had my little section and, you know, I did what I did and I was done. I was like watching the game and my wife's mother is like, yo, you just ain't going to clean this. I was like, I did it. And she was like, man, this ain't clean at all. And I'm like, man, where I'm from, that's clean.
Right.
And she responded with something that like changed my life and she didn't even know it. She was like, but you ain't from there no more. And I was just like, it was like that wee bay meme where you're like, oh, like you no longer in the, like, you know what I'm saying? Like the standards must raise. I feel like that's LeBron. He still wants to be the quote unquote kid from Akron. He still hasn't gotten comfortable in his, yo, I just might be the greatest ever. So
I am a billionaire.
Absolutely, right? Like, you know, I made it. Like, it's not like even when he was talking with his mom, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, all the stuff we've been through, like, bro, this is your fourth title. Like, that's a first title conversation. You know what I'm saying?
It's been a while since you lived in the Jex in Akron. It's been a minute.
He spent more time out of the Jex than in the Jex.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
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 You know, it's like, dude, that's why, you know, the whole, why are you still acting like you're in high school? You ain't been in high school in 30 years, bro. That's me. So... You know what I mean?
But like, here's the thing, though. We saw this already in The Last Dance, where Mike is coming
Mike's
up.
Mike's exact same. Yes.
Just coming up with stuff. It's just like, huh?
Right.
Who? Like, people did what to you? Like, you. And then, you know, at least you could say with LeBron, like, there literally is, you know, guys with cats in their avatar with 12 different numbers after the name Jim, saying stupid things to him on social. Like, where my man Mike was just making shit up. Like, right. He was just
Mike couldn't even say he was, like, you know, from the hood or economically deprived or anything like that. He's just middle class kid with big ears. You know what I'm saying? Like, what is your
what are you so pissed off about?
Exactly. What's the trauma? You know what I'm saying? What's the trauma in your life?
My brother in the backyard. It was rough.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
But that's a good segue. You know, I wrote this this week. That I think the comp to Mike is stupid for many reasons, but the biggest reason is stupid is because they literally don't do anything like each other on the floor. If you're going to compare LeBron to somebody, compare him to somebody that actually played like he did, which is Magic. You know, he's Magic Johnson. That's who he is, you know, in temperament because he wants to pass first. He's always been a pass first guy. He can score when needed. He's a better scorer than Magic. But his temperament, his first thing is always going to be passed to the open guy. Always. It's been that way since Donyell Marshall in 2007. Passed to the open guy. And that was Magic's thing. And they're both kind of these alpha males that do it in a different way and are always going to try to be a cog. And then, you know, they want to put their personality on the squad. And like all great players, they're somewhat grating to the teammates. But they know the guy's that good, so they all fall in line. You know, even off the court with their kind of business plans, they're similar. So I that's where I stand on it. If you guys have a different opinion, please jump in.
For me, it's not so much I'm of the mind now where I think that people don't appreciate Mike.
Yeah, well, of course.
And by that, I mean, like, LeBron is – the only person since Mike to approach that level of excellence. Whether you want to say that, you know, LeBron is better than Mike or not, there's no doubt that nobody's been this excellent, this consistently since Mike. You know, Laker fans, there are Laker fans who will say, well, it was Kobe. And I just don't agree with you. I just don't think Kobe is in the same class as Mike and LeBron. All respect due. So to me, it's like, if you love what Mike was able to do when he was doing it, I don't see how you can't fuck with what LeBron does. Like, that type of excellence has not been matched since Mike, right? And if you were into it as much as I was as a child, specifically Tim Duncan, three-peat.
I think Tim Duncan's the only other guy.
Tim Duncan was, yeah, there you go. Tim Duncan, like when you consider between 1999 and 2014, that's
exactly.
15 years, exactly. Bookended championship. That's it.
I know.
What was that?
It was just boring.
So. Yeah, but that motherfucker was good, though.
It was good.
But he was good, though.
But yeah, at this point, you can't deny the excellence. And just watching this team, it's like this wasn't some cheap championship that LeBron got at the tail end of his career. He's the driving force, the engine of the team.
Not honey.
And so to do that at this age and watching him come in at 18, 19 years old and have all the expectations. And basically, he has met and exceeded every single expectation when this kid was the most hyped entity in the history of sports to that point. Nobody had ever achieved that level of hype, anticipation, all of that. And he exceeded it. It's crazy to even think. And again, like, I can't say this enough. Like, if you appreciate Mike's excellence, there's nobody has ever even approached it in this manner.
Yeah.
But the part that does it for me is, like you said, like, the hype was not a match for LeBron. Like, I remember in 2002, this dude was playing AAU in Oakland, and it was insane. Mm. And I was like, there's no way. Especially, remember, like, that's post-Corleone Young, right?
Right, right,
and all these
right,
other
man.
Harold Miners and all these other dudes who was supposed to be the one and never was the one. So I'm at, like, an AAU tournament at Cal Berkeley, and there's this phenomenon. And I'm like, there's no way this dude is that good, right? No way. And... like, remember, he's like riding Hummers and getting throwback jerseys. And it's like, no, like, all his hype, the $90 million contract. And now it's like an understatement.
Yeah.
Right. Like, now it's like we underhyped him.
Right.
And that's insane. Like, that's really, like, nobody has ever done that before.
Right.
Nobody has ever exceeded the most hysteria possible. And just the fact that he's able to do that, that's why I don't, like you said, DA, like, man, that dude be having me, you know, like hella proud, or just like, I can't believe you did that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
LeBron evokes those emotions because he is from the projects, right?
Yeah.
Like, he is from nothing. He is from the single mom. And you know, that's not how the story's supposed to go.
No.
But then he starts saying stuff and it's like, bro, could you just stop? Like, and just, can you just relish
the
fact?
I think the two things go hand in hand, though.
Yeah, they do.
I think being a child celebrity and having to micromanage your freaking public persona because people went crazy that a kid that basically months later would earn a contract worth $90 million before hooping. People were upset that this guy might have got free jerseys before he could actually afford it for a couple of months, right? Like, people were upset that he had an H2 Hummer. And so, like, all of that sort of PR crafting stuff that he does and the talking shirts when he's walking. Like, I hated the talking shirts, man. The leader of the new school. It's, like, so literal and so banging us over the head. That's all a product
you mean, like,
of
the
micromanaging
leader thing
image
you wore?
And having to. Because he did get killed for some bullshit early on. Like, that actually happened. And I think that steeled them, the team over there, as like, yo, we got to micromanage everything. We're going to make sure the soundbite fits into this and yada, yada, yada. And so that when he gets on that stage and said, I want my damn respect, you know, the three of us just groan and roll our eyes like, really, LeBron, nobody respects you. But I think it's a product of being a child prodigy, man.
Well, there is a case to be made. And this is the one I wish they would make more often. Forget what you do on the court. Forget what he's done on the court. You can make a case that LeBron's the greatest who ever played just for the off-the-court things that he's done. Things, plural.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Number one, he created his own production company and his own agency, essentially.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, the Rich Paul thing doesn't get enough credit.
Right. And Rich should get big credit for what he's done. I'm not saying he shouldn't, but what I'm saying is that LeBron empowered Rich. He gave him the authority to speak on his behalf.
When nobody else was doing that.
Was not done for people that hadn't been, you know, blue chip agency, CAA type guys, you know, all of the David Falk types that had been circling around the game for 30 years.
And he had Aaron Goodwin,
he empowered
too, right?
So it wasn't a bunch of his friends to do that for him. And they did it really well. You know, that's number one. That's really important what he's done. You know, that's really important that he did that. Number two, he created the empowerment era. Like, it's all from him. All of this that's happened in the last 10 years of the NBA is because of him. Because he said, I'm going to decide where I want to play and who I want to play with and for how much money we're going to play with. And there's no agent, there's no GM, there's no coach, there's no nobody that can convince me that's going to make me change my mind. This is what I'm going to do. And every superstar in the league now has that power because of him. And then number three, you talk about everything else in terms of the social justice piece, and I am more than a vote, and all of the things. And the one guy, the one person that Donald Trump hasn't come after in 3 years is LeBron James. He hasn't come at him at all. He's the one guy that has spoken badly about Donald Trump, and Donald Trump hadn't unleashed a tweet storm on him. Because he knows how powerful LeBron James is. So those three things to me, like, make that case as opposed to he's better than Michael Jordan. Who cares if he's better than Michael Jordan? This is where he is most important to me.
Yeah, this is a way bigger level than who's better than Michael Jordan. This is he's made a case for himself to be in that Muhammad Ali, in that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar space, in that, you know, space of athletes whose impact just extends. And we see Jordan like trying to do it now, right? Or doing it more publicly now, I should say. My thing is, I wish, you know, it's a little bit personal for me just because I'm from that. And the way that Iverson like just values the voice of that community, I just want LeBron. For me, it feels like whenever he says stuff like that, it feels like, dude, how come my respect ain't enough? I'm from where you from. So what these other dudes are saying that stuff?
We
respect you. Like, stop saying you're not respected. It's like we not validated. No, bruh, you are a lion. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You are up there. So that's what I'm like. Forget all this talk about not. No, dude, the entire hood across the land put you on a pedestal. Like, that's enough.
Yeah, right.
You don't need nothing else. We are more than enough. Right. For you to be satisfied, and that's that should be point. Enough for you.
And AI never stepped to that. He never said,
right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. He rocks with it. That's all he needed. That's all Allen Iverson ever needed. That's all he mattered. Probably too much, right? Like, probably,
he probably needed to rein it in a little something. He probably needed to rein in the keeping it funky and keeping it real a little bit. But I think there's something to what you're saying right there, Marcus. I remember. Matter of fact, it was one of my favorite things that Ethan ever did back when he was at ESPN. He did a piece about the racial breakdown of people who were still pissed about the decision. And it was basically like the only people still mad are white people.
And it
just showed you that black people was like, who cares? He picked another team. He's still awesome. Let's keep it pushing. But, you know, and the last thing I'll say about this, what I, you know, it obviously it's become cliche to talk about appreciating LeBron, but I truly appreciate him. One, as a fan of hooping, right? Just the game itself, but just somebody who's invested in the theater of it all.
Yeah.
The drama, the dramatic aspect. This guy has been providing drama for 18 years.
He is a content
years.
Creator,
it's
baby.
Crazy.
Right?
Like, it sure like is. Just drama. It's just dramatic. The story is just so dramatic from the start, from like, you know, the high school stuff to where he came from and all of this stuff. He's almost got like a Jesus figure like story, like this kid who was special and he had these trying circumstances.
Born in a manger in Akron.
Seriously, though, right? Like the drama.
Right off of
is,
Route 77.
It's just incredible. And then, you know, and as I transition from, obviously, I'm still a big fan of the game and now I'm doing this professionally. But like you said, Mark, it's like the content is ceaseless. Like, and that's what I think people are going to miss the most about LeBron. That you're going to miss the play, the excellence, but the content, the something to talk about, something to care about, something to feel about. That's what I love the most about LeBron's career and what I'll appreciate most is just like, you know how many arguments in my barbershop, how many hours right. was spent on Kobe and LeBron? You know how many hours was spent on that?
Yeah.
And then, of course, we transition to Jordan and LeBron and can he win? Is he clutch? Is he this? You know, should he have passed it? Like, it was like the content is so endless. That's just my favorite thing about LeBron.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that. I'm going to go with the play, though. Like, I can watch that dude forever.
He's that good. Like, dude, he's that good. Him. Yes. Yes. He's that good. Yes. You absolutely right, Marcus. I mean, you can just admire his play as a player. To your point, Waz, at 35. Still bringing it, still like dominating games, finals games, you know.
Game five was crazy.
He was insane. He was
game
insane.
Five was ridiculous.
That was Boston Celtic. That was game six in the Garden, LeBron, that night.
Dude, the way they were fouling him, those were playoff fouls. Those yeah. fouls would have made, you know, Haywood Workman proud. You know what I'm saying?
And it wasn't like Steph Curry fouling him either. It was It was like, you know, Jay Crowder, Jimmy Butler.
Oh,
you know
ass.
What I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Crowder has no choice but to hack, and he was laying him, and it didn't even matter.
Phase him. Yeah,
he's got a lot. LeBron has a lot of those where he could just like on cue do these like incredible performances, and every time he does them, we're like, yo, I can't believe he just did that. Like, I'll never forget that Detroit game. Like, that was
just unbelievable.
It's just insane. It's like you're watching this, and look, I'm a Jordan diehard, right? Mm-hmm. I was on mic. I seen all the videos. Come fly with me. I had all
of
the VHSs. You know what I'm saying?
I saw them all in person.
Right?
I with the flag.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, man, you know that feeling when you're watching something,
right?
That's just extraordinary. And he's got so many of them games where it's like, I can't believe he did that. But the crazy part, like Zach Lowe wrote about ESPN, is one thing that hurts him is he doesn't have that signature moment in the finals. I mean, he's got the block, but he doesn't have
that's
like,
his
that
signature
basket,
moment. But that's
which is
why,
insane.
That's
nobody
why
cares is, about defense,
right?
Though. That's
but that's
why.
What
nobody
makes
cares.
Him unique to me. Like it's that all about everything else. Play. He doesn't have that signature scoring game.
Scoring
in the
shot. Yeah, he doesn't have signature offense. Yeah,
he's
yeah.
had games where he's been incredible. You know, he's got 28 triple doubles in the finals. In the finals, he's got 28 triple doubles. You know, he just doesn't have that 50-point game. You know,
he doesn't have that moment you put on a T-shirt or a poster,
right?
Like, that
right.
you that you know turn that artist paint. You
right.
know what I'm saying, and turn it into a thing. Like, I think that's largely because the predominant basketball audience just don't care about that stuff. Like,
I know.
Just buckets. And
yeah, just give me buckets.
Yeah.
And, you know, I did read Zach's piece, and when the jumps, like, it's so funny because, like, that jump segment is just an indictment on sports chatter, period. Because T-Mac... Or maybe it's an indictment of what players think, honestly, to be real. Because T-Mac
which is
Scotty,
highly indictable, by the way. Highly indictable.
You know, and T-Mac and Scotty are basically like LeBron. Like, Richards is like, no, when he actually shoots in the clutch, he's got good percentages. He's done it a good amount of times. Like, just factually, this is what's happened. And T-Mac, I just remember the name that stuck out for me, because T-Mac was talking about, I mean, when I think about the clutch shooters and the Paul Pierces, and, you know, he named a bunch of people, and then he said, oh my God, and I forgot about Kobe, but one of the people he said was Joe Johnson. Like, just the notion that Joe Johnson is in any way, shape, or form as good as LeBron in nut crunching time, just that makes no sense. Right?
At anything. He's better at LeBron at nothing.
It's crazy.
But right. But like, that's the nature of the conversation around LeBron. It's like, it's the, like, a lot of this stuff is so, I don't know, it's intangible what people are judging him on, right? It's just this sense, this feeling that people have that Joe Johnson is a better clutch shooter than LeBron James with absolutely no evidence. Joe Johnson's long-ass career is proof of it. Right. And, like, you know, I don't know. It's just one of those things.
Yeah, well, it's
just weird. Yeah, it's weird. People can't disconnect from that feeling that Jordan gave them. So, and it's just beyond rationale. I mean, LeBron couldn't do anything. And, you know, people use Dallas against him, right? Where it's like 2011, he was bad.
Terrible series.
Right?
Yeah, he was bad. And then
in 2013, remember, he couldn't make jumpers, and all he did was hit mid-range jumpers down the stretch.
Right. Well, he got bailed out by Ray Allen.
So I think people just use that against him because it's the feeling that Jordan gave you. Like, it's the feeling, man. It's almost like music. You can't even explain it, man. I can't tell you, like, if I were to write an essay explaining why Pac is the greatest of all time, it would be like an empty essay. Yeah. I can't articulate that Pac is the greatest of all time. I have no data. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's why it's a stupid argument, you know?
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Best? But it's like, just feel it, man. Like, what you want me? You want me to? You want my life to be different? Is that what you want? You want me to have a different psychology? Like, so I don't know.
You just,
like,
couldn't take your eyes off Mike. That's the thing. I think that people, when they say that, it was just, you couldn't take your eyes off him. He just tilted the whole room. It just tilted the whole room. Like, it just.
And we should be able to understand LeBron does that for people now, though. Like, that's the part I don't understand. Yeah.
He does do that for people now. You're right, and that's what
I've seen it, and it's kind of funny, honestly. But yeah, it's, you know, the magnetism, and again, you know, I just like. The idea that this guy can be, to circle back, that this guy could be compared to Michael Jordan is absurd. Like, Michael Jordan was insane. Like, that just shows you the level that this guy is at. Like, there's no, like, somebody like a DeMar DeRozan, who I think has had a fantastic career, an excellent basketball player, like, he's not even in the same freaking stratosphere of shooting guard that, like, they might as well not even be playing the same game, right? And this guy has made multiple all-star games. He's going to have, like, $300 million in career earnings and all of that. And he is not playing the same freaking sport as Michael Jordan. And then there's LeBron, you know? And that's, you know, to me, that's what people are missing in all of this. It's just
that you have no one else to compare him to. Like,
there is no
else.
Other comparisons. Right. Like,
well, the
it's
comparisons
crazy.
Are, again.
Well, Magic. Yeah, I do like the Magic.
That's the comparison. But Magic was that too, though.
Yeah, like, absolutely. To me, I would listen to your argument much more if you compared Michael Jordan to Kareem. That is an apt comparison. What did Kareem do? He scored. He scored. That's what he did. He scored. Every night. He put 30 in the bucket every night. That's what he did. Was he a good rebounder? Yes. Could he pass the ball? Yes. Was he a really good shot blocker?
Buckets.
What he did was get buckets. And this is why you can, and this is the Isaiah Thomas argument that Kareem's the greatest ever. And this, and you have to listen to this argument.
It's a, he has an argument.
He has an argument. Because Kareem had one move. Okay.
And
he had one thing
that
he did. Like, he didn't change, like, 9 years into his career. Oh, I think I'm going to start shooting this fadeaway now. You know what I mean?
And he could do it from anywhere on the court,
right,
too. I saw that dude hit a baseline hook shot. I was like, man, how do you do that? Like, it's a baseline
hook
shot.
He's got one thing that he does, and he scored 38,000 points with it. With one shot. So you have to make that. You can make a Kareem argument. To me, Kareem Michael is a much better comparison. It makes a lot more sense because of what they were expected and asked to do on the court.
Yeah.
It's a much better argument.
But the fact that Bill Russell isn't in this argument is just shows our disrespect for defense. Because as good as anybody was on offense, that's who he was on defense. But like nobody cares. And that dude, like in the 69 finals, I think he averaged like 11 points. And it's like it wasn't nothing. But yo, they won that series because of his ability to contain Wilt. Like, I mean, that's literally what it was. So it's like, and Wilt was one of them dudes who could play in any era. Like, he was a freak of nature. But, like, we don't care about defense. So, like, yeah, Russell, all right, what was it? And I know the argument of they only had eight teams and then 12 teams, but...
Okay, but here's my...
It's about the top, though.
Here's my counter to that. Why didn't anybody ever say, well, the Yankees only had to win two playoff series?
Absolutely.
Nobody discounts the Yankees' 29 pennants. Nobody. Nobody makes a credible argument that the...
But it's not like...
Like, the Houston Astros are better than the Yankees.
But it's not like teams 12 through 30 would have made a difference, right? The upper echelon is still the upper echelon.
Exactly.
It's not like he wouldn't have been going against Jerry West and Elgin Baylor and Wilt every year. Like, it still would have been them.
Right. You
know? So,
it's just that he didn't have to go through that first playoff round against the Hornets. You know what I mean?
But them dudes were terrified of Russell. Terrified of Russell. So, I mean, like... Look, I'm not putting Russell in over Jordan either, but you know, I wasn't alive, but
right,
just the idea that he's just not in the conversation.
Right, he just doesn't get included.
Man, nobody cares because you don't go to the park as a 9-year-old trying to lock people up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they would never leave Babe Ruth and Ted Williams out of a baseball conversation.
Bruh.
Exactly.
No, they will fight for Babe Ruth. They go crazy for Babe Ruth.
You know, exactly. And there's no caveat. There's no, well, what about the lack of black
people? What about the black players? <Yeah, no. laughs>
Did that factor in at all? You know?
Who? The lack of what?
The lack of black people.
don't know what you're talking about. Sorry. Never heard of them.
Right.
Well, they weren't actually people, so right. Did they count?
Exactly.
I just don't, yeah.
So
we do that, though.
Exactly. So why? It's like, why is this exception? Well, Bill Russell wasn't shit, basically, because of the era.
I mean, right? That's crazy. That's the problem. Like, and, you know, as a dude from Oakland, I got a problem with that.
Exactly.
Hold on.
Like, exactly. Bill Russell was a beast. But when you ask somebody who was the greatest NFL coach of all time, Vince Lombardi. Okay.
Right.
What era did he play
in? Saying. Obviously, the only other person is Belichick because he's equaled his.
Right.
You know, his
but I mean, Vince Lombardi's in the conversation, is my point.
Like, right.
They don't just say, it was the 60s. He didn't play against somebody.
Belichick. Yep.
What?
For sure. It's the, and, you know, and I tweeted this the other day. I was like, the problem with the NBA and just basketball in general, but the NBA specifically, is that. Literally everybody thinks they're an expert.
Yeah, right.
Like, most people understand they could not scheme up an offense in football, or defense for that matter. Like, they know they couldn't show up and explain to Tom Brady how to do what he's doing. But they damn sure think they could teach man-to-man principles.
Right.
They could pick and roll offense.
They know a 2-3 zone, huh?
Right, exactly. Stop settling for three-pointers and yada, yada, yada. It's like people just feel like everybody feels like they're an expert at the game of of basketball. It's just one of those weird quirks of the NBA, man. And I think that's what happens with a lot of these convos, where people just really think they know everything.
Like, Elgin Baylor averaged 40.6 points, 17.9 rebounds in the finals in a 7-game series.
Yeah, he was really
and
good.
You would never hear his name. Like, that dude was such a bucket getter, bro.
Right, right. And he was known as one of the first dudes with, like, bounce, like, with crazy athleticism.
Yo,
he's the precursor to LeBron.
Right, right. And so my point is, like, okay, so if it was so damn easy, why didn't Wilt have 7 rings then? Because he was the baddest dude to walk the planet.
Right.
You know,
right. And you know, and that's the thing that I think people need to understand, too. I definitely think when you're comparing the eras, like, straight up and down, like, Derek Harper was, like, the 4th best player on a finals team. I just don't think that could be the case anymore. But that's not to say that David Robinson and Hakeem wouldn't be all NBA first team type of guys, right? Like, I think the end of the benches are way better now, but I don't think the cream of the crop is any creamier.
The best players are the best players. I just
don't believe that. Yeah. I don't know that, you know, somebody like Dickie Simpkins would have got run on this Lakers team.
Right.
You know, like, probably couldn't have played.
We're talking about the D.C. kid, Dickie, now.
Mark Curry wouldn't have got a 10-day contract with the Warriors now?
I don't think so. I just don't that would think be a good, so.
That would be a good show. Most random dude on every championship team. That would be...
Right. Huh? Right. You know...
How many of them still in the league right now as an assistant coach somewhere? Like,
right.
You can't take it away from Barkley and Hawk and
Jack Haley's got 3 rings, really?
But I want to ask you guys about the other thing that I've been seeing on social that's a little bit less crazier, but it's funnier to me. The idea that the Lakers shouldn't count their 17 championships because 5 of them happened in Minneapolis.
No, oh, that's a real thing?
That's a thing. That's a thing that's happening out there.
It's like we can't count any votes that were cast early. Is that, was it like that?
The mail-in votes.
The Minneapolis Lakers are the mail-in votes of 2020.
Right. Like, do the Thunder get to count Lenny Wilkins, excuse me, championship? I just find that to be a hilarious, like, sports fan, like, sports bar crazy thing to say.
Like, we do whatever it takes to discredit the team.
I'm just curious, what is the rationale for them saying that? They were in. That's like saying the Dodgers, the LA Dodgers don't count the Brooklyn titles. What? No, they do count the Brooklyn titles. It's the same franchise.
Everybody counts all titles. Right. I count my granddaddy titles. Like, them count them mine.
Exactly. Of course you count them. Why wouldn't you count them? What's the argument for not counting them? I don't understand what the argument would be.
From a historical perspective, the owner of the Minneapolis Lakers was, is the team, the guy that moved them. It wasn't like a different, right. It wasn't like Clay Bennett, you know what I'm saying?
Like they had 12 new guys on the team after, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, those players came from Minneapolis and they played in LA after that, you know? So it's the same team.
Facts.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
I hadn't heard that one.
So do y'all give, are you buying the argument that this is the toughest title?
I mean, I think it's unique. I don't know if it's necessarily
I don't even know how you quantify that.
Yeah, I don't know. How do you do that? I don't know.
When I played in the 08 finals, it felt like it was.
I don't even know how you quantify. Like, are we talking about world events and all of that stuff taken into account too? I think, was this tougher than the conditions under which Bill Russell lived under in the 1960s in Boston? I don't know that this is tougher, not for these guys, especially when you consider just
damn shame you can't stay in the hotel with us, Bill. See you at the practice tomorrow.
Right. Like, bro, hey, like,
you going to the march after the game?
Dude. But literally though, Marcus, like, that's actually what happened, right? Just the level of affluence that these guys enjoy now, the comfort that they enjoy, it could easily be argued that it was harder to play back in the days, man, that it took more effort and the travel and all of that stuff. It could easily be made that you guys are more comfortable now and are able to be, situated in such a way that you can be at your peak performance. Everything around you is geared towards ensuring that happens. I wouldn't say the bubble is the toughest thing, the toughest experience. They didn't get to stay at the Ritz during the finals. It was so tough. How did they do it, Marcus? Like, Jimmy Butler and them would have been at the Beverly Hilton, and I don't know what happened. Or the Beverly Hills Hotel, not the Beverly Hilton. That's, a lot of people get that confused. They are not the same.
I don't buy that.
But I don't buy the idea that you could discount what happened in the bubble either. Like, I completely throw that in the trash because I watched these games with my own two eyes, and these dudes were killing themselves out there. Like, the level of play and execution was there.
Surprisingly good. I thought it was surprisingly good. Give him the time
just
off.
Just Denver alone, watching them was like a team. Like the two times they went down 3-1, well, they went ended up going down three times. But the first two times they went down 3-1, like you would think that they could just be like, all right, treat it like the regular season, run out the string. These guys were going balls to the wall, playing their like it was the effort was there. Jimmy Butler limping off of that damn podium stage after game five, that wasn't an act. These guys played extremely hard. The execution and the skill level is crazy. So I'm not somebody who would discount what happened in there either.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. I think it's its own unique thing. I don't think that it can be really compared to anything else because there's nobody else has ever had to play under those in those conditions, not under those conditions.
The isolation from family. That's
yeah, I mean
that
is something. Yeah.
That feels like.
But Marcus, you and I both know that a lot of these guys were trying to get away from the family.
But let's not act like they all was trying to.
We know.
Just like, woo, thank you. I gotta go.
Like,
we don't have a choice.
Day,
this is gonna
every
be hard.
Day with their lady and the kids. This is not what they're used to doing. These guys are on the road,
especially after having to do it. Like,
well, the travel and the lack of travel were both double edged swords, right? I mean, they had pluses and minuses for both, right? So
you're on the road, DA, six months of the year. You're not home.
Sure, exactly.
You know, and then that's not to say when you travel in the off season when guys are going to China and going to here and going to that for sort of business related stuff. And then, of course, there's their own vacations and all of that stuff. Like, these dudes ain't used to being home. That's not the case. And so, yeah, I think when people say the family, they left their family. I'm like, eh.
Come on. You saw Fred VanVleet's kids. Come on, man.
I'm proud of them for trying to sell that to us. You know,
Some of them got it. Somebody's got to be legitimately missing their kids, though.
I'm sure some people were. I'm sure some guys were. I'm sure many guys were. I'm just not saying
many
guys
were. Yeah, no, not all guys, man. And
I think probably the roughest part was like the lack of nightlife options.
Right.
I bet that was the hard part.
These dudes are night owls most of the time.
And you can't go anywhere. It's not like you can, hey, let's go to this spot and hang out and do whatever, you know.
Then they can't do the thing that they usually do in towns like Utah and Milwaukee, which is fly stuff in. You know, that was also prohibited.
And smoke.
Daniel House. I mean, seriously.
Although they let him smoke. They let him smoke, right? Did they I got that wrong. They let him smoke, didn't they? Or did they let him smoke?
They did, but you had to bring it in. They didn't impose any laws on it.
Right, yeah. Right. They didn't test them.
But you couldn't be like halfway through the bubble getting packages shipped to you.
Right.
Maybe.
But you know what I did like too is I think it's so dope how next year is set up. You know, I don't think anybody looks at this Lakers team as some infallible, immovable object. Like, if I'm any team with any dreams of contending, I look at those guys like, we can beat those guys.
Well, the Clippers certainly think they can beat those guys. I'm sure Golden State feels like they can beat them with the right moves in the offseason.
You know, so Golden State and Denver and Brooklyn.
Houston don't think so.
Right.
Houston knows they're cooked.
Houston does not think
they're finished. Stick a fork in them. So. You know, the various teams in the East, Boston, and Boston has to be kicking themselves.
Milwaukee.
Like, we could have gave them a better run. Milwaukee, like, I just love the way next season when it eventually comes back is set up because I just think it's wide open. I don't think you can look at the Lakers and say, man, they're probably the favorite and deservedly so. And, you know, this is just for the last time, I do want to address this We Believe Lakers stuff. And our
this has been in your crawl too, by the way.
No, it has been because, yes, when the season start before the season started, the Lakers were essentially co-favorites with the Clippers. That's what happened. But that does not change the fact that many opinion and thought leaders, the people on TV who have the biggest followings online and yada, 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 crapped all over this team, crapped all over the offseason. They laughed at the Dwight Howard signing. They laughed at Rondo. They laughed at the Vogel thing because he was like the fourth coach in line. Like, they laughed at the situation. Like, it happened. That actually happened. But you know, and this is where I take a lot of credit, guys, is because I did pick the Lakers last year, October, and this is on footage. I got this on tape for the very reason why they ended up winning is like, yo, they have LeBron and AD. Like, that's going to be like pretty good in the playoffs, right? Like, and so no, you weren't some underdog, but yes, there was a little bit of anti-Laker.
Say anti-Laker. Sentiment. I think that's a bit much. They were like, Kawhi was great. He won the finals. He won a chip. He's the best player in the league, and he got Paul George to play with him. That's pretty damn good. I think that's what
let
they
me
said.
Ask you, let me ask you this, though.
Playoff team, by the way. Adding to a playoff team.
Right, right.
Let me ask you this, though. We remember all of the stuff about the Lakers roster. Lack of ball handling, lack of shooting. Like, it was constantly being cited. When were the Clippers warts ever cited?
Never.
It never happened.
No, Ross, I agree
with
you.
It was all excuses.
What I'm saying, people were saying, damn, the Clippers, who were already a playoff team, just added Kawhi and Paul George. Who the hell's going to beat them? That's what people said. That's what I said. I copped to that. That's what I said. I thought, wow, right. Kawhi is going to get rest. He's going to be ready.
Who thought the answer would be the Denver Nuggets? I thought the answer would be the Lakers, but right. I think it would be right. The Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, the Lakers exactly. Were never some scrappy underdog. That's just a ridiculous.
No,
that's
but
a ridiculous
did we pick?
Notion.
Did I pick the Clippers? Yeah, I picked the Clippers because I thought the Clippers were a better group, and they turned out not to be.
And the Clippers were a damn good team. They're going to be damn good next year. I think they're going to be much better than they were this year. Just from having to take it more seriously and this whole notion that we can walk to a championship. And all of that stuff. But yeah, Laker fans were definitely the whole nobody believed in us. The people who get paid to believe in what's going to happen and not going to happen had you as co-favorites before the freaking balls even went up. So
the story of the bubble, if you want to get into if this championship meant more or meant less because it was in the bubble, clearly it got to the point where the Clippers just said, yeah, to hell with this. You know what I mean? Like, they just literally were like, yeah, it's not that important. We don't care. It's not that they didn't care. They didn't care. They didn't express their caring in a way that looked like they cared on the court in game 7.
relative to their peers and especially to their competitor, they didn't care.
Yeah, it was just like, you know what? We've been here long enough. It's time to go. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just, and that to me is like, that will be what the great book will be written about, is like, what happened to that group where they just tapped out? They just tapped out, you know?
Yeah.
And Doc tapped out. Doc like, yeah, y'all done.
And another thing, and people have been smart enough now. I think the Lakers, the way they performed the rest of the postseason, I think people like in the bubble, they would have got the Clippers. Maybe if the world hadn't ended or whatever, in a normal situation, playoffs, like, yeah, maybe the Clippers probably, with their talent advantage, top to bottom, are able to prevail. But in that team, the attitude and the sort of energy around that team in the bubble was going to get got.
Yeah, yeah.
One way or another.
No question, right? It was going to be exposed.
And they got.
Yeah.
I just can't believe they went down with Lou Williams as point guard. Like, like that dude had the ball so much. It's like, this is really how you going out? You know, I like Lou Will, but come on. Like, the season on the line. We got Lou Will running pick and roll.
And before, because, you know, we're running out of time.
We're out of time, but that's okay. Go ahead.
We don't want to... I know the Heat lost, but what they did was remarkable.
No, that's great.
They killed Indiana. They absolutely smacked the Bucks around. That was, you know, that was another team where the conversation was like, it was a vague conversation of maybe Bud just doesn't have it in the playoffs, but nobody would have like ever cite specific things. It was like this concept that he wouldn't adjust, and that was the quote unquote weakness of the team. But nobody saw them just getting worked and mollywopped in the second round. That was crazy for the Heat to accomplish that.
Right.
And Boston, I picked Boston against them. I thought they had the more talented team, fresher legs, younger players. Like, and they basically manhandled Boston. Like, and you know, and they had some nice effort. They took the eventual champs to 6 games. So I'm very proud of that team. Like, that was dope to watch all playoffs long.
Yo, listen, when we were talking about this bubble beforehand, I figured Miami would be a sleeper team. I did not see this at all, but I was like, I'm looking down the list of which team would like be good in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy Butler
like is made for adversity. Like mm-hmm. he's one of these dudes who's like, he probably is better in adversity. And it's like, I knew like Jimmy Butler is one of these dudes. If it's about sheer will and toughness,
yeah,
like he's gonna be in the mix. And like he even exceeded what I ever thought. Like this, it's insane what they pulled off. When you like in any other situation, there's no way they make it to the finals. But this was about grind, right? Right. This was about like a battle of mental attrition. This was about like toughness, and just like the Clippers, like you said, how the Clippers would be exposed in a bubble environment. Like Jimmy was going to thrive in this.
Right.
And he thrived like in a manner like, I mean, he even probably exceeded his own expectations. That game, what was it, five?
Game five.
Where he can barely walk. Like, that's his title right there. Like, we were talking about iconic moments you put on a shirt. Put Jimmy, like, barely being able to get off the podium. Yeah. Right? Like, it was. That dude was built. Wait,
when he's when
stuff.
He or when he was leaning on the.
Oh yeah,
on
yeah,
the
absolutely. That's
thing.
The one. My bad. That's the one. The dude gets a foul and like he stops the whole pickup game. Like, hold on, he don't even act like he got to tie his shoe or nothing. You know, you're supposed to fake it off like you got to fix your clothes. He's just like, nah, y'all, I need a break. Hold on,
give me a minute.
His teammates just came to pat him on the back. Like, yeah, you tied,
like, bro.
Man.
We know.
That dude really took a break. Like, hold on,
bro.
Y'all. Pause.
Like, hold on.
He ain't pull out a phone. You got to act like you got a phone call. Like, look, I know about being tired on the hoop court and trying to figure out a way to stop the game. Right. None of that. He ain't tied his shoe. He ain't faking injury. That dude literally just doubled over and was like, yo, break.
And all like, of the amazing.
It was like Mike in the. It was like Mike
that.
After the in the Last Dance.
The
break.
Flu game, yeah, it was Jimmy's flu game for sure.
Jimmy like turned fatigue into a flu game. It's incredible.
Yeah, so I'm proud of. I'm happy for him, and you know, a lot of times because over the years, like I think Jimmy on basketball internet was a bit of a polarizing figure because people like me was like I love Jimmy Butler. I think he's a winner. And you know, the retort was always, well, what's he won?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like the closest he's ever come was the second round last postseason with Philly. And now people can understand that, no, this guy is a star, superstar. He just changes the temperament of your team and he's great. And I love that he's going to get the recognition for that.
Yeah. Yeah. No question. And I'm happy for him and that organization. I'm happy for Riles. Yep. I just like that that people who are consistent in how they approach things, whether you like it or not, you can't ever say you don't know what they're going to do. You know what Miami Heat are going to do and how they're going to do it. And I like that kind of consistency rewarded, and they don't point fingers and they don't fire the coach and bring in a new GM every 5 years. No, this is our coach. He's going to be our coach. We like what he does. You
also,
know?
He's pretty damn good too, right? Like, yep. it's great to see him get that recognition. That dude is incredible.
Yeah, no, he is. All right, so we had other stuff we're going to talk about, but we can do that some other time. This was great. MT, as always, my brother, thank you. Appreciate you as always. Waz, appreciate you too. You know, Jay wanted me to mention that Marcus was our first guest, which I have forgotten, Waz. He was our first guest on our first show.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. See that's back when I thought I was the third host, and then I failed as the first guest, and it was like, yeah, we're going to make him a guest.
Nah, they had other plans for
you. Exactly. We couldn't offer you the platform that you rose
that you
to.
So richly deserved.
You know what I'm saying? Or
the next Sports Illustrated going to have a I'm coming home to Hoops Adjacent.
My next chapter. Man. It'll be my next chapter.
My next chapter.
In a vineyard.
All right, y'all. Thank you as always. All right. Thank y'all for listening. Leave that nice review on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify. You know what to do. 5 stars. See you next time.
We just want our respect. Rob wants his respect.